Sup people, how's it going? Welcome to Throwdown. I am joined by Brett Murdoch.
What's up people?
Brian Wanjoma.
What a boring week and absolutely nothing interesting has happened.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up everyone?
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up everybody?
So yeah, you guys get to see it double. You may notice a couple folks are missing. Only one person's missing. Yes, Tony. Tony is out doing his thing in Germany, so you're stuck with us this time around. We got little things to talk about, some mysterious things about, maybe a eulogy for a certain type of game. Who knows? But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about some PAX. So yeah, Richard actually went to PAX West this weekend, or previous weekend? Yeah, last weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how was it?
PAX West, that's one of the main reasons why I missed the show last week. Let me first start this off correctly. I want to congratulate all of you guys for the phenomenal work on the show, celebrating the anniversary, because I wish I was here to be a part of that discussion, but I literally landed in Seattle as you guys were wrapping that episode with Torrance. Mm-hmm. So I missed out on that, but it was a fantastic conversation, fantastic discussion, and I look forward to being on the next one. Now, as for PAX West, there were some positives and some negatives. Let me start by saying, overall, I thought the show was great. There were a lot more publishers there this year than there was in the past. From what I've heard, this was actually my second time going to PAX. So there definitely was some differences from the last time I went to now. But as for the publishers that were there, now, Capcom was there. Monster Hunter had a huge presence at the show because this was the first public showing for Monster Hunter where people were able to play. But obviously, if you decided to play that game, then you were going to be waiting in a line for a very, very, very long time. So I did not get a chance to check out the game. I can tell you that the line was a beast in and of itself, because like Capcom had other games there, like the Dead Rising remake, which I did play. I did play some of that. There was hardly nobody waiting in lines to play any of that stuff. Everybody was waiting to play Monster Hunter. So yeah, that speaks volumes to the anticipation for the game. So yeah,
it's literally the new hotness. I mean, what is it? That Dead Rising game literally launched that weekend, right? That, like, really close to when PAX was, right?
Well, actually, it's coming out in like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and it seems as though that is the theme of this particular show, because a lot of stuff that I played, whether it was on site or off site, like, it's coming out like really soon, like in like either 2 weeks or within a month, so on and so forth. But yeah, Monster Hunter looked impressive. I can't wait to play it next year. But yeah. I definitely wasn't going to get a chance to play that this time around. As to what I did play, I did get a chance to check out that Power Rangers game that people have been talking about and they've been hyped for. That game actually is pretty good. Now, in terms of the beat 'em up fighter games, I still like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game a lot more. The Shredder's Revenge. That game, yep, I think is at the top of the list. This game is pretty good though. Again, they released a trailer of the gameplay, but we only played maybe one stage and had one boss fight, so we didn't get to see any of the stuff as far as any of the other stuff they showed in that trailer and the different type of gameplay scenarios they have. So they didn't, and they also, what I find interesting is they said fall 2024, so once again, no announcement of the official date. So I guess I don't know when they're going to announce this. I guess it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks or so. It has to, because we're already in September and there's not that much time left for this year. So, yeah. But it is coming out this year. They did emphasize that. So we'll see about that.
Yeah, I mean, it looked pretty interesting. Though one thing I did notice that none of the obviously they didn't get all the likeness rights for all the characters, so it's sort of like look-alike, you know, people for all the Ranger kids.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. The demo they had too, it was supposed to be, you know, up to, yeah, like five players, but they had an issue with that particular unit, so only four players at that particular time. And one thing I can say, because that's a question that everybody kept asking, the Green Ranger is in the game, but he is not. You only can play as him after you have completed the campaign. So I guess he's a part of the story. They didn't really go too much into the story. When we played, it was just that one mission. So very interesting. But yeah, might be worth checking out if you was hyped for it when you saw them reveal it at the, I guess, that one of Jeff Keighley's recent shows.
Yeah.
Maybe it was at the Summer Games Fest. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
So as for some other stuff that I played, my first time, I actually got a chance to play Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Now, let me say right now, this is a game that I didn't play the first game. Okay, I'm actually was interested in getting into this series because I heard people saying certain things about the first game. So I did get to spend some time playing the game. It's like one of the earlier missions in the game where I got a chance to, I had to basically, I don't want to give away any story details. I'll just say I had to do a certain task for a character that I was introduced in the game. And then you have the same thing where you make the decision as to whether or not you're going to say certain stuff to the character, how it impacts that relationship moving forward. I got a chance to see the combat as far as using the sword. And of course, I basically was asked, okay, I you know, just to prove your loyalty to me, I need you to steal something for me. Okay, so you have to do it without getting detected. Okay, so that was quite an interesting experience because, you know, in this game, you can change the night-day cycle as well, certain times of the day. In this particular mission, I had to fast forward to nighttime so that I wasn't seen. And the rule was that I could not kill anybody while I stole this because if I did that, then that would cause an issue. But yeah, after I completed that mission, it started to get very interesting in terms of certain stuff that was happening in the story. But unfortunately, the demo ended because they only gave us like maybe 45 minutes to play the game and get a feel for everything. Mm. I definitely am curious to see more of the game. It is coming out in February next year. Play more of it as well. But I had a good time with the game. I will admit that I am not very good with the sword fighting stuff in that game because it takes a little bit of time to get used to that. But the dialogue, everything, and it looked great, obviously, on PC. So I'm looking forward to it. I definitely will dive more into that when it comes out in February.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that was great. Let me mention a few other quick games. I got a chance to check out the Undisputed game, and this is a game, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, because this is a game that he is hyped for. This is like another boxing game that he actually has been playing in early access for quite some time. So we are going to be covering that. That's also coming out in October, and I got a chance to see how this game is different from Fight Night and the other games. And I have to say, for an independent developer, this game looked very impressive. The likenesses of the fighters, how they move around in the ring and they have signature styles, they captured that perfectly. I also like the fact how, you know, you can go into a fight with an injury, and obviously if you continue to take so much damage, you can actually have a career-ending injury.
Oh, man.
Which is something, yeah, that's something that I have not really seen in a game, at least not recently. So I was very interested in that. Now, obviously, I may have to test that out to see that actually happen.
you just get beat up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it has a very good balance of, it's about fighting, but it has a good balance of you building up your character, having to build up your presence as a fighter. There's a lot going on in that game that I think is very interesting. So once again, another game that is going to be worth checking out, I think, when it comes out in October. But obviously, if you're a boxing fan, it depends on that. That's a very big key component of that. Let me see. What else do I want to mention? I did go to the Mix event. There was a lot of great stuff at the Mix event. I mean, way too many great things. So there's a Rugrats game that's coming out next week.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle type game. That game looks fantastic. I mean, this is like you're watching the TV show. Obviously, I watched that show as a kid. Yeah, I had some fun with that. Atari had a presence at the show as well because they were showing off the console that they're releasing, the retro console.
Yep.
They also have a couple of games coming out too that they showed, mm-hmm. which looked pretty cool. And then there was, you know, I mentioned earlier about the beat 'em up stuff. There is another beat 'em up game that also was coming out, and it's based on the Karate Kid, like the original trilogy of the Karate Kid.
Oh,
now,
man.
That game looks great. That game was great. I actually played that. I actually enjoyed that game more than the Power Rangers game because of the art style and the fact of how they're utilizing going back to the movies, certain moments that happen in the movies they capture in the actual game. And you get to play as different people like Mr. Miyagi, obviously, Daniel-san. And of course, they have some other characters that were never, you know, in a fighting game before. They are our fighters in this game. So very interesting. Once again, that's coming out in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things dropping in September. It's like I was overwhelmed to see and hear how much stuff is actually coming this soon. But definitely some stuff to catch out. And obviously, I'm going to continue to post some stuff on the website. We actually have an article that Ricky posted up earlier today. I have something I posted up for Karate Kid as well on the website right now. But there's a ton more things coming. The last thing I will say, Square Enix, they were at the show. They had a few things on the floor, but I actually had a behind closed doors appointment offsite at one of the hotels.
Ooh.
So we got a chance to see obviously some more of the Dragon Quest game that they've announced that's coming out in November, and then they have two other games coming out one of them is still, I don't know when that timeline, because they didn't give us a release date. I think that's the Phantom Zio game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they made a Romancing Saga 2 remake. Now, obviously, I don't know anything about that series, but that Romancing Saga game was great. I definitely cannot wait to get to see more of that because, again, the appointment I had, they only gave us 30 minutes to play each game, but the majority of the time I spent, I was playing that game. And again, it's just like your typical, you know, Final Fantasy type of game. It is an RPG, turn-based RPG. But it does take place over the span of several decades where you have to take down these seven different enemies over the span of all these decades. So, I mean, Riku-san, I think he knows a lot more about that series. So I would have to ask him. But I certainly can understand now, though, why he's into it. Because that was a great experience. So I look forward to that. That's coming out, I think, in October. I don't know the exact date. Maybe towards the end of October. So once again, all this stuff is coming out really soon. But overall, I would say PAX was good. If there are two complaints that I do have, though, and this is more so, I guess, as Tony would say, inside baseball.
Uh-oh.
Now, I did have some appointments scheduled during the show. And the thing is that there is definitely a difference between having an appointment offsite and having an appointment in the actual convention center. Because I recall when I had the Power Rangers appointment, you know, you think you go to the appointment and then you're able to check out the game and that's pretty much it. You know, you talk to the dev and that's it. This particular appointment, this game only had one booth. So there was like a line of people there when I was there.
Huh.
And obviously I didn't want to go up and be rude and say, hey, wait a second, I have an appointment. Now I did eventually get to my appointment, but I had to wait because somebody was already on the machine and they were halfway through the demo. I didn't like that but I will say that wasn't the case for every game. Because when I had the Kingdom Come Deliverance appointment, there was a dedicated system for just me to play it. I'm gonna write something about it. So that was inconsistent with certain games had that scenario, other games didn't. So that I had an issue with. And then of course the other thing is because I went to Summer Games Fest. It's like, obviously, we don't have to worry about the pandemic anymore. But one thing that I noticed about these shows is that anytime somebody's playing a game afterwards, they normally will wipe down the controllers. It'll have some type of, sanitize it after everybody plays it.
Yeah.
There was none of that at this event because obviously, there was no hand sanitizer, nothing. So obviously, you just go up, you play a game, so on and so forth. And obviously, if you have your own hand sanitizer, that's fine. But I did notice there was like no attempt to, because it's just so many, it was so crowded with people. The media hour is only something that happens on the first day of PAX. After that, it's just like business as usual and everybody mm-hmm. comes in there. When it's people started flooding in there, I had to take several breaks from, if I had an appointment inside the convention center, I had to leave that convention center multiple times. There's so many people, so overwhelming. And just people in the way. If I'm trying to get to an appointment, hey, get out the way. I don't know what you're doing, but mm-hmm. just please move to the side. There's a lot of that. But overall, I did enjoy a lot of the stuff that I played for the most part. I didn't play anything that was horrible, unlike Concord. I didn't play anything like that. So, I know if I do go next year, I have a couple of different things I will do. But again, the offsite appointments, those were absolutely the best. I don't have to worry about people in the convention center, do what I need to do as far as covering the game, and then that's it. But still, not a bad show. And the last thing I will mention is one thing I did also like about this trip is that I did other things besides just play games. Like my coworkers, they actually knew that I was coming into town. So we actually scheduled a lunch that I had the first day. When I needed to take a break, I met it with them at Seattle Center. We had a great lunch together. Nice. That was a lot of fun because, it's the first time, we usually work remotely. So I never really see them in person. This is like the first time I met them in like almost 3 years. So that was pretty cool. That was good. And I also got a chance to meet our boy, to meet up with our boy Fergus Mills. Yeah, because he lives in Seattle, and he actually arranged for us to go to one of the Seattle Storm games because he actually worked with them on some stuff. Ooh. So I met up with him at the arena. I got a chance to check out the arena. It's a very cool arena. We were inside a suite, so I got to see how certain people have money, how they treat the people in there. That was an interesting experience. But overall, it was awesome. And again, the one thing I do like about when I went to Seattle this time around, it didn't rain any time I was there. It was like 80 degrees, 75, 80 degrees every single day. And everybody that I was talking to said, you came at the best time because the weather is great. And now when you leave, it's going to be horrible. I guess that did start to change. Overall, it was a great trip. I didn't have too many complaints, really.
No, that sounds cool. Yeah, I enjoyed the two times that I ended up going to it. It was pretty cool. And my only my gripe was just walking to all the different buildings.
Yes.
Because one year we had I had a hotel that was like down the street, and then you had to walk all the way up the hill to get to the convention center. And then, this last year was the first year that they opened the Summit building. So then you had to go walk from, if you had some things you wanted, you had to go to, you went to the Nintendo thing, then you had to walk down, and then it was, other buildings. So it was a lot of stuff there. But it definitely looked like this year there was a lot more things going on, and a lot, even from what you're saying, a lot more people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they did announce, when the next show is happening, obviously next year, they already have the dates that they announced, similar to what they do at E3. So, definitely was a lot of people. I'm all for the public having access to these events. Although I will say this, I did hear some very interesting information. Gamescom, right? Because a lot of people went to Gamescom and didn't go to PAX West. Well, I actually spoke to some devs that went to both shows. And I asked them what the difference was between Gamescom. They said Gamescom is massive because whereas PAX West only, they have like those two parts of the convention, Gamescom has 11 different areas.
Yeah, they
four of those areas are only for media and business. Everything else is for the public. So you see, they have a big separation. That separation, I think, is necessary, and that made me interested. So, hey, maybe I will try to go to Gamescom in the future, but we'll see what happens.
That's a cool one. So, speaking of eulogies, awful transition. let's go talk about our feature topic, which is the death of Concorde. So, obviously, you guys remember not long ago, Sony made this big announcement that Concorde was going to be shutting down, and they were going to give everybody refunds, and they were going to figure out what the future of Concorde was going to be. And today is that day. Today is the day that Concorde died. Not much I can say about it because I never played it. I wasn't really that big.
Well, none of us played it.
None of us played it.
A heck of a lot of people didn't play it. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Especially when you look at those numbers, it was like 600 to 200 people on Steam, and a little more than that on PlayStation. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about the aftermath of all of this. So obviously, at some point, it looks like that maybe Sony is doing a full-on recall. Like, they're taking all those discs and they're pulling them back in. If you go to their website, go to the PlayStation website to look for it, you'll notice that you can't even access it. It doesn't show. It just says lost or whatever, oops or whatever like that.
The oops page, like you went to
the wrong page. But the thing about the other aftermath of this is now people have been trying to get copies of Concorde. It's going, if you look on eBay, they're starting to sell it for exorbitant prices. Like places like Best Buy and stuff like that, or even though you see them on the shelves, or like Target, you see them on the shelves, they're not selling them to people at all. So it's like, yeah, because why would you sell a person a game that doesn't exist, right? So, it's pretty crazy. So yeah, for those of you who bought Concorde, maybe your version of Concorde might earn you a little bit of money, because it's an utterly dead game. There's nothing you can do with it. It's just a case with a disc in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you want to hold on to probably the worst game in history? I mean, that's like holding on to E.T., It's like eventually... Yeah. This is going to be valuable. Like, somebody in 83 was like, you know what? I'm going to hold on to this.
I still got my E.T.
Yeah, there you go. It didn't end up in a landfill like the rest of the disc will.
Oh, man. Yeah, it happened. I mean, it's so interesting how they instantly just cut it all off. But I have a feeling I know why. And this goes into our, goes into a topic later on. It's the 30th year of the 30th anniversary of PlayStation in general. And would you want a flop to be sitting out there while, essentially taking the limelight of all the other things that you got going on? I feel like they just cut their losses on it because of stuff like that.
Well, also to complete the tax write-off, you have to just nuke it. The whole thing. Yeah, I mean, they've lost well over $200 million on the game, right? Like, you have to do a tax write-off, and you can't have an inactive at all. Game can't be active, so they had to kill it. Like, shut it up, shut down the servers, refund people, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys think they're going to keep it closed? Because, like, I heard that they're closing it to retool it. When I hear that, I hear that we're closing this to... rebalance it in a way that we can put it out as free to play.
That might be a possibility. But do you think?
I don't think there's any salvaging this. I mean, the brand is damaged.
Yeah. Do you think like they could salvage this? I don't know about that. Like this game would have to do a total 180 in order for something like that. But because of the stigma that the game already has, I don't know. But
yeah, and it is already bad blood. Like the lead guy at Fireship calling people who are criticizing the game talentless freaks. There's memes about that all over the place. You had plenty of journalists virtue signaling on the game. And basically, everybody's a bigot who didn't buy it. And it's like, well, you told us it's not for us not to buy it. And then when we don't buy it, all of a sudden we're horrible. And I don't know. It's a no-win situation. Anyway, I'm not buying trash. This is the short story.
Yeah, even if it's free, I don't know. I don't know if anybody would want. I
don't care if anybody worked hard on it. Like Wally worked hard cleaning up the earth in that movie. It's still trash.
Yeah. Brett, I guess to add to what you're saying, so this is taken from the statement from the game director. After talking about people playing the game and whatnot, he says, while we determine best path ahead, console sales will cease immediately and begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased the game on PS5 or PC. If you have purchased... However, while many of the experiences resonate with players, we also recognize that other aspects of the game and our initial launch didn't land as we intended. Therefore, at this time, we have decided to take the game offline beginning September 6th and explore options, including those that will better reach our players. So
yeah, they're going free to play.
But as Chris says, who's going to give a damn? Again, the brand is, again, as Chris says, the brand is now tarnished. Like, it has that, oh, it's Concord. Like, I don't think they can do a Final Fantasy 14 Rebirth. Like, I don't think they can do a No Man's Sky and pull this back unless they drastically change so many aspects that it practically just becomes a different game. And even then, I don't know. It's really tough for them. And, yeah, going free to play with what they have is never going to work. Like, it's, again, the brand is tarnished. People already aren't a fan of playing the game. I mean, this is one of the things that I think they should just stop working on it and then say, okay, you know what, it's done. You know, just let it die and let the past be at this point, you know.
I just was going to say, yeah, I think it does need to die. But let me just add this. You know, the statement we are reading is the most recent statement. I saw a statement prior to this that explicitly said that this game also failed because Chris and Carlos did not purchase the game. So we have to yes, absolutely.
Man, they singled you all out.
That's amazing. I don't know. And that article I read that I put up in our private chat, I mean, that was amazing. The mental gymnastics that was going on with people being interviewed was insane. You know, we have our friend the serial mascot, and he was virtual signaling. And then I was shocked because that Daniel Ahmed guy, and he's a great analyst. Like, I can't take anything away from him. He's a great analyst, but his take on Concord was absolutely ridiculous. Like, just an insane, like, diatribe about, like, right-wing gamers are creating a DEI straw man and people are believing it. So that's why they didn't buy the game. I'm like, that's stupid. I mean, people have eyes. They can look and see what's happening. Right, they are online, they see the game, they see the characters, and they're like, eh, it's probably not for me. And then they see the dialogue around the game, and they go, well, if you're, as Brett would say, if you're pissing my cereal and call it milk, and I can see you pissing in my cereal, I'm not going to eat it, right? That's what has happened. And so to say otherwise is just insane.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't understand why... a lot of, you know, you'll find a lot of filmmakers do this and a lot of people in the game industry do this sort of stuff where they essentially attempt to browbeat the audience. Like, one thing to understand about a lot of this, and none of these things are certain, is like, you let once this thing leaves your hands, it's in the audience's hands, whether something is a success or a failure. And you can't control what people are going to think of that thing. So you just leave it alone. And at the end, you know, when the dust settles, you know, you've seen plenty of directors do that. You know, maybe that film wasn't the right thing to do at the time. You know, something like that. In other words, it doesn't need to be this sort of contentious thing. Just because you worked on something isn't going to make it a full on success. You know, people put hundreds and hundreds of hours into all these different things, just to find out that their film failed, or they just, you know, it just didn't hit right. And I think that's the way people should at least try to think about these things. You know, obviously you're trying to go for an audience. Obviously you're trying to do this sort of stuff, and maybe that audience is not biting. So maybe you need to do something a little bit better. Because that's it's like, hey, just make the good thing. But it's like, try again. You know. See what you could do, because obviously it didn't work, and it's a huge failure. Hopefully the failure isn't so immense that you're not able to make anything else again. You know, because, you know, the way the game industry is going these days, you know, you could be a Tango Gameworks and all of a sudden make a pretty critically acclaimed game, and then all of a sudden just get knocked off. So it does. Nobody's safe. You know, one thing you guys are going to notice is this episode seems to be quite Sony-centric. There's a lot of Sony things that just happened this week. So, next topic is the Sony chief, Hariki? I'm totally butchering this poor man's name. Toria Tokioki? I don't know. Bets on original content as part of a creation ship, saying Sony is lacking in original content. So to give you a little bit of he did an interview for I think Fortune magazine, and he is essentially saying, oh yeah, you know, we at Sony are going to start trying to invest in original IP because we don't seem to have a lot. Which I feel like a lot of the Sony fans sort of like get, when they saw this on Twitter, they essentially just like started listing like pretty much every single PlayStation IP that, you know, original IP, which,
right,
it was, I mean, you guys have shit. You guys have a lot of shit. You just haven't touched it in years, you know?
Well, not just that, your original content has to be good. When you shut down a game in 10 days, right, which is an original IP, that's not a good sign, right? So that's not just the problem. Like, well, we don't have enough original IPs. It's like, no, you don't have enough good content to offer people. That's the problem. It doesn't matter if it's existing, if it's a sequel, if it's a remake, if you license something, nobody cares as long as it's good.
Yeah, so it's nice to see that they're going to be investing into new things. Let's just hope that this new old initiative, because they did this in PlayStation 3 era, for those of you who remembered, they started to fully invest into their original IPs. Let's hope that this, you know, there's a little bit more that comes from it, and you know, hopefully they're not thinking they need to the best ideas to throw $1 billion at something and hope and have incredibly small returns. You know, start small, guys. You know, you don't need to do these incredibly huge titles. You know, start small, and if it hits big, then you keep going with it. Any one of those classic Sony things. Granted, I'm sure the God of War series has had a pretty decent budget, but not so crazy where it literally ripped the freedom away from the director of the game, right? And I think that's where it needs to start. Start small, medium, you know, maybe, you know, and don't keep throwing it all at these big, you know, all these big statements. Feel, you know, just like anything, you have, just like if you remember the old days of movies, right? You know, you had your smaller movies and then you had your big guys. And I feel like that's the way the game industry needs to remember how to work. But we'll see. Hopefully something good comes out of that.
I did find it just to be a very odd statement to make, but I do agree that they don't have many original IPs. And it seems like when he was talking about it, he was talking about it in the sense of across all Sony brands. So it's not just PlayStation, it's also films and whatnot. Which I guess, yes, is true. But then at the same time, as Manny said, like if you really want to grow them, then you have to actually start growing them. You can't just do, ironically, just do what Concord did, which is like you see how the game is and then you think it's going to sell well and then you throw millions at it and then it falls over. So, yeah, I think, ironically, what they need to do is lots of hi-fi rushes. The smaller size games that, again, you put them out there, you see if people like that type of stuff or not, and then you put more money into the sequel. I mean, that's pretty much how God of War grew to how it was. Like, they released the first game. Looking back at it, it wasn't groundbreaking. It didn't do anything wildly different. It was just Devil May Cry, but with with Greeks, and it resonated. So hence they did another one and another one, and they kept on making them because again, it resonated. So that's what you do. You know, you just put out something relatively small, and then build up from there. And one of the important things is if you want things to resonate, you ask the general audience what they like. You know, you don't just let people make whatever they think they want to make. Ask the audience, like, hey, like, do you like this thing or do you not like this thing? Because one of the things I noticed, and this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, is again, it goes back to Baldur's Gate. You know, Baldur's Gate, like one of the aspects of it being successful was that they had that open beta. They released on early access for like a year or 2 years before launch to get the feedback from the people that like playing that game to say, okay, how do people like this? You know, what can we change to make it better? And they got that feedback and incorporated it, and then you got Baldur's Gate 3. So I'm certain that there are avenues out there, and if not, maybe there should be avenues out there where PlayStation exclusive games can get that feedback from people, not just like what happened with Redfall, where they say, oh yeah, internal reviews had this thing as being successful, or they do focus testing with like select few people, or it's just some random guy from marketing comes down and plays it and says, oh yeah, this game looks good, let's buy the studio. You know, like, no, you get input from the people that are going to buy your product if they are willing to buy the product. Like, because as far as I'm concerned, everyone else's opinion doesn't really matter. If people are not going to buy your product, then their opinion doesn't matter, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, a lot of these guys who do these testing, they do all kinds of tests and stuff to try to see if it hits things. But, you know, sometimes even that is not enough. But again, if you don't make a big investment, you don't make a huge investment, then the loss isn't that bad. And I think that's what hasn't happened. Too bad they done closed a company, you know, an internal studio that used to do middle A titles. Just saying. Anyway. Speaking of big titles, again, an awful transition. Black Myth Wukong, 18 million in 2 weeks on PS5 and PC. So it's a big one. I mean, and they didn't have a lot of people. What did they have? 30 people working on that game? It took them 4 years to do. Not bad, right?
Well, not just that. I mean, look how much. I mean, the Western journalists even tried to brigade that game out of existence,
which is a weird one to me, because I don't understand what about it. Like, in other words, it's people from China telling their own stories. Now, you know, obviously, you know, politics aside, you know, it does come from a country that has this, but officially there's no political leaning in it. It all it is just telling the stories of their culture.
And well, that's the problem. We don't have objective journalists anymore. We have activists who work at Kotaku and IGN and all this stuff, and they need their messaging to be in the games. And when these guys push back and go, "No, we're not doing that," then they attack them, right? So that's what was happening with this game. The developers of Black Myth: Wukong were not going to put in whatever nonsense these guys were telling them, and they're not going to hire an agency like Sweet Baby because they're not retarded. So they actually made something quality, right? And what do these guys do? They bash it, right? They give it low scores and whatever. It's a complete brigading of the game, and it's not right. Like, that's how, like, yeah, these guys have no credibility to begin with, and it just gets worse and worse as they act up like children, because there's developers in other countries are not going to bend to knee to their nonsense.
It's still so weird to me, because it's like, I would say it's probably the most inoffensive of these of a game you could possibly own, right? And what are they doing? You're literally a bunch of animal people chopping, beating the shit out of each other because of all this stuff. And it tells stories about Buddha. It's all this Journey to the West stuff. And I personally, I've always liked the Monkey King and the Journey to the West story. And I was like, I've always said for years, if somebody who had really, had the talent, they could possibly, I forgot how many pages that book is. It's huge. There's so many stories that you can adapt out of that story, out of the thing. You literally make a whole series of it, and I think that's pretty cool. And again, they're telling their own stories. It's pretty much a sequel to Journey to the West. But yeah, like, I don't know, man. It's so like, yeah. Oh, you. That's Brian.
Yeah, it's just, as you said, it's just very strange. The weird. I don't know if it's indifference, but the way the media just kind of collectively all agreed that they don't like this game for whatever odd reason, and it's just very strange. But again, as you said, like, there's nothing offensive about the game. It's just, it's game telling a story, and a story that's well beloved. So what's the issue? Like, it's just odd to me that they would have this type of weird, if Tony was here, he'd know the words put there, but this weird facade against it. And yeah, it seems like people resonate with it, and 18 million people really resonate with it, which is fascinating, so I honestly didn't expect it to sell this much. I thought maybe it would do maybe a maximum of 5 million, because again, I just didn't think it would resonate that well. But again, I guess we all underestimated the China audience. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, well done to it.
Yeah. Is there a breakdown of the sales in regions, or was it just they just threw out 18 million?
They just threw out 18 million. They didn't really say which ones were which.
So. I'd be curious how well it sold, because that just shows like how kind of powerless these guys are in attacking stuff like this game. Like, people are going to buy some, or there's just like middle finger purchases. Like, that's they, like, people getting into First Ascendant or Stellar Blade, it's like, nah, fuck you, I play what I want, and you just you just adopt the game. It may not be like that they were interested, but it's a Streisand effect. You attack something and people are like, hey, what, why are they attacking this thing? And you look at it and go, hey, that's pretty interesting, I'm gonna play it now.
Yeah, it could be definitely just interest, and it definitely could be like people just like, oh man, why are these guys making a big old stink about it? I want to see what this is. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what we could say about that. I mean, I'm enjoying it personally. I haven't gotten too far. I'm still trying to beat that snake boss. Not the snake boss. What is he? He's like a water like guy. But yeah, I'm trying to beat him. He pulled his Demon Souls thing, this is not my final form, and he turned into he got a snake bottom half. So I gotta be patient. I gotta just, you can grind a little bit in the game too. So and I to be honest, like, I would say, like, this game, as difficult it is, it's also fairly fair about it. And I also say that, like, the you know, the death thing doesn't even have like a real like consequence. You die, you come back. You just got to run to the location to where the boss is now, you know? That's the only the only maybe inconvenience, right?
Well, but again, if people are enjoying it, then people are enjoying it. And
and for a $40 game, it's a $40 game, as I remember, right?
I don't know.
It was a $50 or $40 game, as I remember. So, it wasn't going to break your wallet. So, 18 million with a game that's not even they're not even charging they're not charging like $70 for. It's pretty damn good.
Yep, even on Steam now, the peak play count of today was just over, well, just under 1.1 million. And for comparison's sake, it's second behind Counter-Strike, which has a peak of 1.4 million.
Yeah, there you go.
So second highest played game on Steam. Those are the only two games that have over 8 million, and the next one from that has 650,000, which is PUBG, ironically enough.
So, surprise PUBG and almost, Fortnite's there.
Fortnite's not on Steam. It's on Epic Games Store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's doing good numbers still. I would look at Concord, but they've took down the data. So.
This has 1.4 million more players than Concord does.
Oh, no.
I don't know if Concord even had enough players to have data.
Yeah. Oh, it did. The data was really funny. One of the funniest things that I've seen is that it had fewer peak concurrent players, no, fewer peak players than Golem did.
Ooh.
Sorry, Golem.
Whoa, damn.
And like,
yeah,
but like Golem, right? If you know, that was like a totally low budget game. It was it wasn't like, and it's
it was also broken.
And it was also incredibly broken. And it still had more players playing that than Concord. That's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, moving along. So so we're still in the Sony zone. We're in the PlayStation zone now. We're gonna have to rename our. That's it. You know, that was our nickname. They used to call us the PS Zone, because going back to the old shows when Warzone was around, Warzone was considered like the PC / Xbox show, and our show Throwdown was considered the PlayStation show. Anyway, speaking of PlayStation. Astrobot gets high ratings across the board. So it's pretty insane. Every outlet that seems to have touched this game has either given it a 10 or a 5, which is crazy. Something, so you know, the same journalists that were coming down on Wukong apparently like what's going on in this. And from what everybody's who's actually played it, they all seem to enjoy it. I mean, one thing about the Astro's Playroom, it's a fun game, you know, fun little platformer, and this game is not a huge time investment. I think they say 15 hours or so. So, and it's like again another $40 game. So, hopefully, you know, the sales of it matches the reception of the media. Richard, you played a little bit of it, right?
Yeah, I did start playing it tonight. I did get a review code, but I was out of town when I got that review code. So, but yeah, the game is a lot of fun. One thing I love about the game is the thing I really like about the game is that, it's just a fun playthrough. If you like collecting a lot of stuff, obviously the objective of the game is to rescue all the bots that are scattered throughout different places in the galaxy, so to speak. It's a great game. This is, again, one of the things I loved about Astro's Playroom is just it was a very good game to showcase what you can do with the DualSense. And this game, once again, it's the same thing. Because I haven't really played too many PS5 games that really make good use of the controller. This game does that once again. Now, again, I've only played maybe two levels so far, so I'm not yet ready to say give my full verdict, but I can tell you right now, really enjoying the game. It's a lot of fun. If you enjoy Playroom, you definitely are going to enjoy this game because it's a lot more to explore than it was previously. A lot more levels, planets, so on and so forth.
Look at it this way. I really enjoyed the previous one that came with the console, so it's, you know, cool to see it sort of get continued. And just to correct what I said before, yes, Wukong is $60.
Oh.
Yes. How much was Astro's Playroom? I don't know how much that is. I know I just bought it.
So wasn't Astro's Playroom free?
Astro's Playroom. Astro's Playroom is free. Astrobot.
Yes. I'm guessing $40.
I thought it was 40.
$60.
It's 62. No. Yeah. 60 as well. Yeah, $59.99. Okay. Again, not something that'll break the bank. I mean, that's OG, you know, video game prices right there. It's nice to see Sony is charging old prices for these things, you know. Especially when they really got into their $70 range. I wonder how much Death Stranding is going to cost. Is that going to be back at 70?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
they gotta pay Norman Reedus his check, right?
And speaking of which, I think that they're going to reveal more of that game at Tokyo Game Show this month. I think that was something that they announced ahead of time. So.
Yeah.
That should be interesting.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're supposed to be at the stage at the Sony's booth or something like that. Just maybe talk a little bit more about it. I mean, my guess is the game is going to be coming out, you know, 25, right? Next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, moving on. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Hold on. Regarding the reviews, I do find it very strange that they're so high.
Yeah, it seems off, right?
I mean, come on. There's one thing that they're high in general, which is fine, but it's like lots of them are just doing like almost 10 out of 10s. And it's like, okay, it's like, is this game really that good? Or are you just rating it 10 out of 10 because of other reasons that are in there? You know, I mean, this game has no female characters, right?
Nobody ever says what the bots are.
They're not female. They're bots.
They're robots.
I mean, if a game that has like a Spider-Woman hybrid has no female characters, then how can a game that has robots have female characters? I'm just saying, and where's the diversity? Weirdly enough, you know, so... Hence,
oh yeah, that's right.
I don't know. Again, this is part me being funny and me part being serious. I don't know why it's so high. I just find it a bit odd. But at the same time, you know what? The games, I don't trust most game reviews anyway, so I don't put much weight into it. But at the same time, it's just kind of like, okay, this is just, it's high numbers. You know,
yeah,
fine.
It's high numbers. I mean, like, you know, one thing about like reviewers in general, right? So in the movie industry, a film, maybe not so much now, but like years ago, you could literally have a movie come out and it totally get panned by like guys like Ebert and Roper, or Roger, you know, Siskel and Ebert, right? You know, or any of the other things, but it still does millions of dollars. And I feel like we as a culture don't need to, you know, obviously you read the reviews of the people that you sort of, you know, connect with, you know, right? But also don't let it try to, you know, if you see something, you feel like something, you know, is right down your alley, don't, you know, it doesn't, you don't, you know, at least you're getting a bit of a fair warning if you're reading any of those reviews, right? But I feel like that also just like, if it's working, if it's somehow working for you, if you're reading this review and you're saying, you know, this is a really bad review that I'm reading here, but it's talking about all things that I really want and that sound like really good to me, then, you know, why not? Right? Anyway, moving on. We're still in the PlayStation zone. It is the 30th, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of PlayStation. So, you know, how fitting to release a game that's somewhat of a celebration of things that are PlayStation, you know, like with Astrobot. And there's supposed to be, there's a bunch of little celebration-y things that they're doing. They're giving away soundtracks, they're doing, like, you know, giving away those silly, like, virtual items on their, like, the PlayStation Stars system, and they say there's supposed to be a bunch of other things that are supposed to be coming through the line. Some sort of version of the all kinds of different little games and things that they're going to be putting out. But one of the reasons why I actually want to talk about it, you know, 30th anniversary, cool. But if you've looked at the ads for this thing, you know, you've seen the drawing, the kind of crude drawing of the PlayStation Pro. Apparently, in the ads for this 30th anniversary thing, there is that, you see that shape of the PlayStation Pro in there. So it has like these, if you've seen the thing, it looks like it has the plates that you usually have on the new slim PlayStation. But then it has these sort of striped lines, which almost look like vents in the center. And in one of the things, like, they show all the PlayStations all over the place, and then you see this mysterious shape that looks very similar to that drawing that somebody did supposedly off of the box. So I don't know. They keep saying it's coming soon. I always see their, you know, those guys on all over the place saying, "Oh, PlayStation." The PlayStation Pro is coming soon, so there you go. You know, for those who know, the 26th of September is the actual release date of the PlayStation. I'm not saying they're gonna do anything. They're gonna do anything on that day, but that would probably be the most fitting day to do any sort of overarching announcement for something new. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think somebody's keeping quiet. It feels a little weird to be celebrating right now when they don't have a lot to be. Like, they're not killing it at the moment. They're not failing. It's not doing much to anything.
The biggest question is, like, okay, so what? Like, if it does get released this year, right? What is it? What is the showcase of this PlayStation Pro? Officially, they said they're not releasing anything of significance this year, right?
That's the problem. You got new hardware, and what do you have to do for your anniversary? Look backwards, right?
Yeah,
this whole generation has been a travesty. So you have a half step upgrade, you know, and in this generation, and then with no new titles this year, nothing to look forward to really for Sony original content at all until 2025, and even then it's like, well, I don't know, it hasn't been looking good so far, so we'll see. But the I don't know, they probably should revamp this thing to just talk about the history of PlayStation, like, to just get people engaged, see all the great things that we did have, right? Because what do you have now? What have you done for anyone lately? Nothing. And then you're releasing a new system, like a upgrade to the current gen. Why? To play what?
Play that new Death Stranding game coming out next year. I don't know.
So why? Yeah, then release it with that. A Death Stranding edition. You know?
Well, I know you were joking when you see Kojima tease that he was playing Death Stranding 2 on something else, and I saw that image. I think that was a couple of days back, where he had the system covered up that he was playing on. So people are thinking, well, maybe he's playing on a PS5 Pro. I don't know.
I mean, he most definitely probably has a dev kit. That's one thing we do know for sure. A lot of developers already have the units out there. So It's a possibility. It was, he was just covering over this mysterious PlayStation. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, like, you know, we'll see how this 30th anniversary thing goes. Again, like, I would say the offerings that they have, they're a bit of a pittance, you know? Not, like, just a little bit of stuff. Like, it is, I mean, granted, I guess, you know, maybe if it was the, you know, the next one up, the 40th or 45th or, you know, 35th or something, I don't know. But it just seems... It's a little weak from what I can see. Like, you're offering a bunch of old soundtracks, you know, virtual items for their silly, you know, PlayStation Stars thing. I think there's a thing called Gran Turismo First, which sounds like some sort of truncated version of Grand Theft Auto. Gran Turismo that they're going to be putting out. But it doesn't seem like there's anything really of significance other than a few little things. I'm sure they're probably going to put out a new controller, like, you know, like they tend to do, right? Speaking of controllers, you're going to get yourself a Concord controller, right? It's worth money now.
Again, it's only the ironic money that's worth, just like that.
Yeah.
You can say you actually own, like, the biggest failure in video game history. Right? You own a copy of it. And maybe in 20 years, people, you know, somebody be like, oh my God, you actually have a copy of Concord?
Does it work? And it just, the console just spits it out.
Dust off your PS5 Pro.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's it for our little bit of topics here. You know, so I'm going to do the Tony usual. What have you guys been playing? I don't know. Let's go with Brian. You're probably not playing anything right now, right?
No, actually. I don't think I am. Been playing more of the First Descendant. I'm really getting into the groove of it. I've noticed that it definitely took a lot of inspiration from Warframe. I'm seeing a lot of similar mechanics and ideas and things going on here. So, I guess it makes sense, you know, that's what you do, you know, you copy something that works. So, yeah, I'm not that annoyed, it's just more a case of, well, it's good, because I am familiar with the ideas, so that's fine, but at the same time, it's like, okay, it's alright. Yeah, just been playing more of that, going through, again, the game itself is, it's fine, it's not revolutionary, it's not going to turn the world on, well, it hasn't turned the world on fire, you know, it hasn't sold 18 million in 2 days, so there's that. But it's an okay game, you know.
Concord.
It's no Concord.
That is true. It is no, oh, on. I think that might be like the new thing, you know. Xbox has, it's good enough for Game Pass, and then PlayStation will have, it's no Concord.
It's no Concord. It's no Redfall. I mean, even Redfall didn't fail as badly as that.
Yep. That's... Oh, Concord. All right. What's
the next title coming from PlayStation? Like, there's another flop in the works.
Are you talking about Fair Games?
Yeah, I think that's...
From the J. Raymond... Studio.
Is that it? Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I know about that one.
Well, no, I have a quick question. So if that game is a fair that they saw it coming when they name a game like that.
Well, think about it. Fireship was an appropriate game because that game was a dumpster fire. It sank.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, so pretty much just that. I've been meaning to get around this one game called Still Wakes the Deep. It's from, I think, the same guys that made Amnesia? Or maybe not. I think
you're right. I saw the trailer for that. That looks pretty interesting. The one on the oil rig, right?
Yes.
And drilling for oil, you find Cthulhu.
Yep, That's pretty much why I like the idea of it. I'm like, okay, this game could be quite fun. The Chinese room. Uh oh. Okay. So yeah. Oh no, it's the Dear Esther and Everybody's Gone to the Rapture people.
Oh okay, yeah.
Oh okay.
So it means it's just going to be a bunch of empty environments with a narration.
I guess I can deal with that. Let's find out.
The walking simulator.
I have been meaning to get round to that, but again, just not had time to really play. And Carlos, since you're probably out there and asking, Spy X Family, Almost Strange Season 1. There's your answer. And of course, Space Marine comes out next week, and I'm very excited.
I definitely play that. I played the first one.
And it's currently the top-selling game on Steam at the moment. And it technically released as like the Ultimate Edition with 3-4 days early access. And that has a peak concurrent player count of 132,000. So it's not even out yet. And it's still no Concord.
Still no Concord.
So yeah.
Does that mean we need a shirt? Not... Better than Concord.
Nice. At least it's not Concord, right?
So that's me. Not much, but looking forward to a few games. And then since Stalker got delayed, I'm very happy.
I missed it. Are you gonna do the Warhammer game?
Mm-hmm. Yep. As with what I did with Dragon's Dogma, is I waited, I think, like 4 days after it came out, and then I bought it, because ever since Cyberpunk, I'm never going to pre-order any game ever again, regardless of how much I like it or how much I want to like it. Just no. Just full on, there's no more. Brian will never pre-order another game again.
Wait, I have to ask you, Brian, which Warhammer game has the, you know, I've seen the picture going around with the chick with the Bruce Campbell chin. Like, which Warhammer game is that?
I don't know. I've not seen anything saying either way, but I hope it's not the Forge,
not Space,
the Space
Marine
2. People have just said that it's something from, not, is it games from Games Workshop? So possibly they just do some character things or something. I don't know, but I don't know. From most of my sources, they've not said either way if it's from the game or not. So I'll just wait.
So, Brett, what you been playing? You've been playing some stuff? You've been eating good?
Yeah, I mean, I've been going back to Valheim. They did the Ashlands update, so just got a whole new biome, bunch of new weapons, enemies, build pieces. It's pretty much the scale of what you would normally call a DLC. It's kind of one of the reasons I like some early access games. Some, if they're good. So took a break from Elden Ring, going back and playing some of this. Still need to play through the DLC a second time with the girlfriend. Yeah, that's about it lately.
Chris, what you been up to? I know you, but you'd be here.
Oh,
you might have a couple.
Yeah, just with a little bit of time, I just been playing random stuff off Steam. I also had Pacific Drive on Steam, so I was trying to finish that again. So nice, I played it twice. I platinumed it on PlayStation, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going for a drive again.
Have you finished the DLC, or you finished Elden Ring's DLC? I know you have the platinum to Elden Ring in general.
Yes. I started New Game +3 or +4. Arma Journey 4, whatever. I started over because Carlos was like, yeah, you know, he started over. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go back through again. And now I have tuned my guy so much, I'm just doing like insane damage to the bosses. It's lovely. I use the Giant Crusher, and I can proc a lot of buffs for strength and damage. So I'm hitting bosses that I usually were like a pain in the ass before. I'm just like knocking a third of their health off with one shot. I'm like, damn, it's awesome. So, I'll go back through the DLC one more time. I think I found everything out. I was kind of disappointed with a lot of the DLC weapons. A couple of them were good, but most of them weren't really worth a damn. Like, I was still using the base game stuff was better, I think.
I mean, one thing,
and then
one thing I did notice is that they had, it seemed like they upped the stances for some of the weapons. Like, it looks like they added like these extra, like, you know, like twirly moves to, like, you know, like, well, like the rapier and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's thrusting weapons and all this stuff. They added the martial arts with the hand wraps and stuff, like you could kick and punch. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't use that stuff. I just thought it was neat because there was some cool moves with it. But the thing that was weird is like, so you fight, you know, the final boss is, and spoilers, it's Radahn. But you get another armor set from him, and then you get his swords again. Like, he uses remembrance, and it's like he has another pair of swords that look almost exactly like the other pair from the base game, but they're not quite the same, and they have a completely different skill set. So that confused the hell out of me. I'm like, lore wise, I would just defer to Brett, because I'm just like, why does he have another pair of swords that look exactly like the old ones, and they're also have almost the same description? I didn't understand that at all. It's just like they ran out of ideas. Like, yeah, just give Radahn swords again, and just give him another move set. Which one of them, the light one, has a great skill set where you can like lightning up in the air, and then you just dash down at someone. That mm-hmm. one's pretty good. I do like that one, but I just didn't get why they were there.
Yeah. And Mr. Richard, you already said what you were playing with a little bit. You got into a little bit of Astros and.
Oh yeah. So to quote Mr. Adam Vale, we are swimming in games right now.
I mean, yeah, there definitely is a lot of stuff.
So I did mention I am playing Astro Bot. I've also been playing Visions of Mana. Again, another JRPG. It's a pretty game so far. And I'm playing some other things, but I can't talk about that yet. But I will say, I will talk about it next week, because it's multiple things. It's not just one thing I'm playing. So stay tuned for that.
For me, what I've been playing, I still want to get the platinum to Hi-Fi Rush. It's interesting. I have something of a bit of a backlog because it just, you know, because my PlayStation was on the fritz for a few months. Right now I started Wukong, but I'm very close. I'm very much in the beginning of the game. What I'm thinking of doing is I'm putting Hi-Fi Rush on a little bit of a hold, because all I need to do is just beat the game one more time on like Rhythm Master mode, and I'm like halfway done. But I'm thinking I'm gonna put Wukong on hold for a little bit to finish off Astrobot, and then come back and play play a little Wukong and a little bit of Hi-Fi Rush, and then maybe end things off with Stellar Blade, because I haven't started it. In May, my PlayStation went on the fritz, and I had to send it back. So I sort of missed the boat. So I have a little bit of a thing, but yeah, I'm actually really happy that there's quite a bit of things that are to play. I know when I initially bought the PlayStation 5, like once I ran through, what games? I don't even remember what I had with it already. I mean. One thing I did do was, because I had that, you know, I had the Ultra Plus, which is, you know, I literally just downloaded all the games that you know, and rolled over my saves for like Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding and Guardians of the Galaxy and got those things. And then I think I got the platinum in Astrobot, and then I can't remember the other game that I still had on there. But yeah, I bought it for Spider-Man, so I got it. Got the platinum in Spider-Man 2. But yeah, so I mean, I think right now is the end of things that I want to play. I think I have the three or four titles that I'm really looking forward to. To really fully finishing. I'm gonna have a little bit more time now, just in general. Taking some time off and stuff like that. So I figured, get in and play some games, get some stuff done. And yeah, that's it for me, Maybe take care of this cough that I'm getting. But I guess that's it for this episode of Throwdown. I want to thank you all for hanging out with us. Again, big thank you to everybody who came, and listened and watched our last two episodes of Throwdown. It's crazy to say that we have, with both shows combined, we have literally 1,000 episodes of this show. This is the second iteration of the show, as we said before. The original one, which was like around 95 episodes or 96 episodes, which was on STFU and Play, with Rich here, I want to thank Richard immensely for giving Throwdown a home on thecoalition.com. Especially when Torrance decided to close down STFU and Play, Rich came in on the clutch and said, "Hey, you can hang out on our site, and just continue to do what you do." So, thank you so much, Rich.
Oh no, the pleasure is all mine. I enjoyed the show that you guys have been doing for all this time. So I definitely was honored that you would ask me about the opportunity to work together. So yeah, and I'm glad to see it continue to grow. And like I said, looking forward to 500 plus more episodes. And I definitely will make sure that I'm on the next anniversary episode.
Tony's got Tony has this, has this big calendar thing. He knows when a lot of this stuff ends and when a lot of this stuff begins. So he always says, "Hey, I want to," he'll always do stuff he'll add an extra show to essentially bump the numbers so that so that the episode will show up on a specific time, because he really wanted the 500 and the 10-year to sort of coincide. So, that's it. Thank you for listening to Throwdown. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff. It's all in the subscription down below. I was your host, Emilio Lopez, and I'm joined by Brett Murdoch.
It has been real, party people.
Brian Manjoma.
Rest in peace, Concord. We hardly knew you.
Oh. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
If you have to play a PlayStation game, play Astrobot. Forget about Concord.
One thing I didn't realize so PlayStation has that deal with the guy who directed Deadpool. His company makes cinematics. And they're doing that series. It's called Game Something or Other. It's going to be on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
One of those episodes is either a Concord episode or it has the Concord characters in it. What's happening to that?
It has been dropped already.
Really? They cut it.
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. It's like we didn't even. It's like it wasn't even there.
Never even got a chance to know you. That's probably okay.
All righty, guys. See you next time.